Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that really is the vision that we have for our pastoral apprentices, that these would be men to whom we can impart our understanding of the gospel, of theology, of the pastoral ministry, of the nature of the church and how it's to operate, and send them out to teach others also what God has given to us. So I'd like you to just imagine with me for a minute. Imagine what could be, say, 10 or 20 years from now. How many like-minded churches could there be in West Tennessee that we planted, that our apprentices helped start and pastored and shepherded, not only in West Tennessee, but perhaps even throughout North America, perhaps around the world? How many could there be? On top of that, how many churches that are currently lacking in strong leadership right now, and as a result they're weak and they're suffering, how many of those churches could our apprentices be pastoring 10 or 20 years from now and see those churches coming to a renewed health and revitalization? Think about where God has placed us. We are right here in Jackson, Tennessee, just a few miles down the road from Union University, where God is bringing young men year by year who are called to be pastors, who are called to be missionaries, and they are going through this church. And we have an opportunity to be the ones who impact their lives and their ministries for the future, perhaps more than any other church or organization. We have the opportunity to send these men out to be pastors, to be missionaries, to be faithful heralds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of His name among the nations. Can you just imagine what a few decades might accomplish if we labor at this faithfully? So I wanted to cast something of a general idea. I have no idea what the Lord is going to do, but it is really exciting to imagine what He could do if we stay on top of this and do it well. So this morning, I'd like to begin by first giving you some background, some history of our apprenticeship program. It's not going to take long because the program started last year. And then want to talk about where we look like we're going from here, because the program is beginning to change. It's beginning to be refined, and we're making it better, and we're able to offer more. So that's my goal this morning, is to speak to those of you who may not be familiar with it, but also to tell you where we're going from here, and to make a good case, I think, for why you should be interested in being a part of it if you're looking into pastoral ministry or becoming a missionary and God has called you to serve His church. So the program began in 2010. We had our first group of guys go through it. We had six men participate in the program, and they participated in it at two levels. We designed it to have two different levels. One was called the Tier 1 level, and that means that these guys were part of serving the church for 15 hours a week minimum. That was our requirement. Give them 15 hours of responsibility to the church. And they're the ones who have been doing the things like the bulletins and the prayer lists and all the day-to-day kind of things that the church has to do. So that's part of their 15 hours. The other part was just spending time here with Lee and being involved in whatever aspect of ministry he had for them here. That was the Tier 1, and that was the unique component of the Tier 1. And for that component, we paid them, or we are paying them, $400 a month. Then the Tier 2 guys were part of the other component, which also includes the Tier 1, and that was reading a number of books that from a list of books that I put together, and meeting with me for a couple of hours a week to discuss what we've read, to do some writing on these books, to talk through aspects of pastoral ministry and the doctrine of the church, and just a number of things that we thought would be helpful in training men to be pastors and missionaries. And this also included preaching, as we've been listening to our apprentices preach here recently on Wednesday nights. Included a couple of preaching opportunities, and then any other kind of leadership opportunities that have come up. We've been trying to give the apprentices opportunities to teach in different settings. And our approach as we started was really, we were thinking in terms of training guys. And I think of Mike Evans. Many of you know Mike. Mike is something of the typical guy that we were seeking to train the first year, because he stayed with us a year before he went on to seminary. And there he is now in Louisville continuing his education, and the Lord is working in his life, and he's part of a great church there in Louisville. And ultimately, we don't know where he'll end up, but we're sure he'll be serving the Lord at some point. So we were thinking about guys like that, you know, stay with us for a year before you go to seminary and be part of this. And I'm sure there will be many more like Mike Evans who will come through the program and do that. And that's fine. That's great. And we ask the Lord's blessing upon it. We're thrilled to be a part of that. But in more recent days, we've wondered if we could take this up to the next level. And instead of training guys for a year and then sending them on to the seminary to take over, we've been thinking, what if guys could stay right here? What if we could train them through our apprentice program, and then they could commit to staying here in Jackson for the duration of their seminary degree, and then we could be part of shepherding them and training them throughout those other years that they're still here, helping them find opportunities to continue to serve this church or perhaps to connect with other churches. And then what if our elders could be an active guide in helping them determine where they are called once they've earned their master's degree? And so this becomes a very exciting possibility for us if we can make this happen. And of course, one of the things that would be great if we could make this happen would be if you could actually get seminary credit while you were going through our program. And lo and behold, you can. So I'll talk about that in just a minute. So we're looking now at changing direction somewhat. We want to urge as many young men as we can, or I guess old men if you're older, that's fine, to take part in this program for a year, and then, if possible, if the Lord leads you, stay here with us. Continue your education here. Stay here. Let us be part of sending you out to plant new churches, sending you out to pastor churches, sending you out around the world to serve Christ and see what the Lord will do with that. So let me talk to you then about some new features of our program. Prior to these new developments, we had limited our participation to 6 men at a time. 3 would be for the Tier 1 and 3 for the Tier 2. Now we're proposing that we change that. We want to bring in more guys, because one of the things that we've discovered in the process of doing this is that the 15-hour-a-week requirement of service to the church can be a hindrance to some men who would otherwise be very well qualified, would be very well prepared to be a part of this, but it's just 15 hours a week is too much for them to give, because maybe they have full-time jobs, they've got to support a family or something of that nature. So we thought that this 15-hour-a-week requirement perhaps was putting too much on these guys, and if we could bring in more guys who were giving less time in terms of their weekly requirement, we thought that might be a better arrangement. So we're proposing that we accept up to 10 apprentices per year, and that we reduce their workload. If they're in the Tier 1 program, we reduce their workload down to 5 hours a week. And what that would involve basically would be 2-hour meeting with Lee every week. That's what the Tier 1 guys do anyway. They meet with Lee for a couple of hours a week. And then for the rest of the time, you find another 3-hour slot during the week during which you can just be here. And the way that it would work is we'd probably be able to divide it up depending on how many there were, but say a couple of guys could use their 3 hours a week, 1 week per month, to do all of the day-to-day stuff that has to be done, like the bulletin and the announcements, all that stuff has to be done. You could say, this will be my week and Joe's week, and we'll just do that this week. But then we may not come around to having to do that until, say, a month later, once everyone else has been through that cycle. So what do you do the rest of the weeks? Well, Lee has mentioned that one of the most fruitful things about this program has been when he and the apprentices are just sitting in his office together doing their work, but conversations just come up. Things just come up, and moments for engaging with one another and training and passing on wisdom and parting, having good conversations, those things just come up as they spend time together. So that would be one thing that they could do. Another thing is that Tom will be here full time, Lord willing, starting this summer. And he would also have a number of things that he could be a part of with our apprentices. And then I've encouraged the other elders as well that if they have something that they're going to do, maybe they have a membership interview, maybe they have a hospital visit, maybe they have something just going on that would be appropriate for one of these apprentices or two of them to come along with them. I've encouraged them to just give them a call and let them come along with them. So it'll just be spending time here at the church, but less time than we've required to this point so that we can encourage more participation. And as a result, we are proposing that we, since we've cut their time requirements by about a third, we propose then that we cut the pay by about a third. Now, that's probably not going to be popular to the apprentices, but I am going to make that sound really good here in a minute. Instead of paying $400 a month, we are looking at paying each one of the guys who is part of this Tier 1 $1,500 per year to be used as a stipend for education, if you are choosing to go into seminary. If you're not, I'm sure we could still give that to you. But think about the costs here. Currently, we are spending $13,400 a year, or we have that much set aside if we had three Tier 1 guys that we pay at our current rate. $13,400, that's three guys for 11 months plus $200 for 1 month when we don't really have much going on, but somebody still has to do the day-to-day stuff. So that's $13,400. We could train eight apprentices at this lower rate for less than that, for $12,000. So we've already got money set aside for up to eight. If we went to nine apprentices at this lower rate, it would be just $100 more than we're spending now, $13,500. If we went to 10, it would be $15,000, so $1,600 more, but we're training 10 guys rather than three. And I think the most exciting part of this new development and the reason we're moving toward this new model is because we, like I said, can now offer seminary credit for going through this program with us. We've been in conversations with Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And let me just preface all of this by saying we're also now in conversation with the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. They're a little bit late coming to the table, but they are now very interested in talking to us as well. And what I'm sharing with you, we don't have any details finalized with them at this point, but what I'm sharing with you now about Southeastern, this is kind of like, this will be the minimum, okay? If it gets better from here, it will only get better. We're not going to enter into an arrangement with Southern that would be worse than this. So I'm just going to present what we already have as a possibility with Southeastern, but keep in mind, it may even get better depending on how our conversations with Southern go. But with Southeastern Seminary, they are willing to offer credit for three-hour courses as part of the reading and writing and meeting with me, and then nine additional hours for spending the time at the church and meeting with Lee and all of that stuff. And so it pans out this way. There are three courses that they are willing to give us credit for. One of them is called Pastoral Ministry, and that's 3 hours. One of them is called Christian Leadership, that's 3 hours. One of them is called Administration or Education in the Church, and that's 3 hours. And then I forget what different schools call it, but when I was in seminary, this was called Supervised Ministry Experience. The name may have changed, but it's the same thing. It's where, you know, every seminary student has to spend a number of hours in some kind of a local church placement, getting on the job training, so to speak, for seminary credit. And they're willing to offer 9 hours for that. So it's a total of 18 hours that you could earn being part of our program here for a year. So we are very interested in seeking men applying, who would be willing to be a part of this, to get your 18 hours of credit with our program, and then at the same time, You could be doing extension classes at Southern Seminary. Guess what? You can be enrolled in two seminaries at once. So you could be enrolled at Southeastern, getting hours through us, at the same time that you're taking classes on Mondays over at the Extension Center for Southern. And the schools, because they're both Southern Baptist seminaries, then your hours are going to transfer very easily from one school to the other. So the issue of being involved in two schools is not a problem. In addition to this, every seminary, basically if you entered this program on the model that we're talking about now with Southeastern involved, every seminary requires its graduates to have at least 24 of their credit hours. The total Master of Divinity degree is about 90-something hours, which is way more than any other master degree out there. So you all should be very appreciative of us who have them. It is way, way more than a typical master's degree. And so 24 of those hours that you have to get of all 90 or 96, however many it is, 24 of those hours have to be considered on-campus hours. So you have to be on the seminary campus for those 24 hours. Well, Southeastern says these 9 hours that you're actually not on campus for count toward that. So if you are seeking to graduate from Southeastern, if you want to go that route, then you could say, well, if I do this program, I've already got 9 of those knocked out, and then I can just get 15 more by other means. But if you wanted to go with the degree at Southern, you'd have to do all 24 on campus. Now, what would you do for the rest of your seminary? Well, like we said, there's an extension center here. You have the possibility of internet classes as well. And, of course, there are J-terms. And J-terms would be how you'd have to pick up most of your on-campus hours. And so built into our program now, we're going to allow break times in the program in January and during the summer so that those of you who participate will have plenty of time to go to Southern or Southeastern for however long, a week or a week. Even some classes could be a weekend, but however long you need to be gone to take some of those classes that you're going to need during the J terms. And so we're hoping that with this new model, using our program, using the Extension Center, using online classes, using J-terms, you would be able to complete an entire Master of Divinity degree without ever leaving permanently your home here in Jackson. And we think that there are a number of benefits to this idea, to this approach. And so in an attempt to try to sell this, I'm gonna present 6 advantages, 6 reasons why this is a better deal to you than just going to traditional seminary. Number one, you can pursue a Master of Divinity and remain part of this church. And those of you who belong to this church, I know that that's an important thing in your life right now. I know that there's a tightly knit community, that this is a place where we truly are family. And We always hate to lose. We rejoice when God sends people out from us, but we hate to lose people. And if you could get the same kind of education without having to leave us, how much greater would that be for us and for you? So just think about that advantage, that you can remain here. Number two, you can earn a Master of Divinity. If you work at it, you could actually earn a Master of Divinity faster this way. And this is one of those parts where those of you who may not be interested in the program, this is too much information. But those of you who are, I want to show you something here. If you were involved in our program, say for a year. Okay. Make sure you edit this, J-Rock. If you are a part of our program, let's say the fall, it begins in the fall, so you're part of our program during the fall, at Cornerstone, you'll be getting 9 hours of credit for that semester. But let's say that you worked really hard. You're able to work really hard and be involved at the Southern Extension here. And you could earn up to 9 additional hours there at Southern. Now, that would be tough. Not everybody could do that. But if you were really focused, really dedicated, you could enroll in that many hours. And then let's say that following January, you enrolled for a J term either at Southern or Southeastern. You traveled there to either Wake Forest or Louisville, and you got 3 more hours. Then we have the spring semester. And again, you would get 9 hours with us, and you could get another 9 hours at the Southern Extension. And then let's say in the summer, let's say you could get another 3 to 6 hours the following summer. You add those up, that's 42 to 45 hours in a year. Now, I went back and looked at my old transcripts because I couldn't remember how many hours I got in a year when I was at the MDiv program. I lived on campus in Louisville. I got 30 hours my first year, 29 my second, 30 my third. And then it took me another half year to finish. If you get 42 to 45 hours in a year, you are way ahead of where I was. And you could potentially finish a 90-something hour degree in 3 years, which is quite remarkable. So it could really accelerate if you're really interested in moving quickly. It could accelerate the pace at which you pursue this education. The third benefit, I believe, you can get a better education doing it this way. Let's face it, seminaries are wonderful, but there are some things they don't do well because they're not equipped to do them well, and yet they still require them. So you have to do them somewhere. So you can either do them at a seminary, which is not trained to do it well, not equipped to do it well, or you can do it at a church where it really should be done in the first place. Pastoral ministry, Christian leadership, administration, education in the church, those are the kind of seminary classes that are best done on the ground in a church where these things are actually going on. In fact, those of us who have been to seminary would say that many of these kinds of classes are not really worth the time that you spend in them sometimes. Now, certain professors could make them better than others, but just because of the nature of what a seminary is and the way that it's operated, what it's equipped to do certain things really well. Teach you the languages, teach you theology, teach you history and tradition. Those are the things that seminaries can do really well. But the kinds of things that involve actual experience in the church, why not let churches do that so much better? Because we are equipped to do them a lot better. Another thing involved in getting a better education, I remember when I took a preaching class in seminary, I preached a trial sermon, which was about, it had to be limited to 15 minutes, and it was in a classroom with a handful of guys who were also doing the same thing. That's not preaching. That's not preaching experience. That is an artificial classroom setting, and that's not really what it's like when you're preaching in a church. So what do? We let our apprentices preach in front of a congregation, and we don't give them a time limit, sometimes to our chagrin, but but we're... I'm just joking, yes. But it's not an artificial setting. This is an actual congregation that is assembled to hear the Word of God proclaimed to them. And we give our guys opportunity. We aim for 2 times in a year to allow them the opportunity to do that. That is so much better, so much more real, so much more like the real thing than the classroom setting. Also, think about the day-to-day pastoral ministry experience involved with being here, with working with our pastors, and being a part of all the things that they do. Also, we're looking at giving these apprentices teaching opportunities as much as we can. Timothy has taught Sunday school for us a couple of times. Bob has taught here a couple of times. Others have taught Sunday school, or they have led Wednesday night small groups, and the new movement toward meeting in homes will be a prime opportunity for our apprentices to get some experience leading in ministry And so there are a number of opportunities that we can offer that, you could not get at a seminary. The theological learning that takes place here at the church in meetings with me and with Lee, it takes place in a small seminar format where we're sitting around a table together, talking to one another, having a conversation, rather than in a really large lecture hall. And I've always found that kind of approach to education to be much more enriching. So that's another benefit I think we can offer. And then I would be willing to let our reading list go toe-to-toe with any Master of Divinity degree out there, because I think our reading list is every bit as rigorous or more than what you might encounter at a seminary. So I do think in many ways it's a better education when you can take what the best of what the seminary has to offer with the best of what we can do here and combine them. So that's the third benefit. The fourth is that we believe you can actually get a cheaper education. And this is something that Lee figured out, but he wanted me to go ahead and point it all out to you because it really is exciting. Think about getting this $1,500 stipend in a year, and then add to that that there are scholarships available through the Tennessee Baptist Convention and the Tennessee Baptist Foundation that are available to those who are members of Tennessee churches, Tennessee Southern Baptist churches, or Tennessee Baptist churches, that are enrolled full-time in seminary. Now think about that. Member of a Tennessee Baptist church, but you're enrolled full-time in seminary. There are no seminaries in Tennessee. There are extensions, but there are no seminaries. So most of the people who are enrolled in seminary who are members of Tennessee churches are likely just part-time. So there's not going to be a lot of competition for these scholarships. And Bob Calli has received these scholarships before, and currently I think the number is somewhere around $2,500 that he's received per year toward his education. So we'll just take that as a ballpark figure. I cannot speak to the specifics of that, but as a ballpark figure, if you add that $1,500 that we're paying plus, you know, roughly $2,500 you might be able to get in scholarships, you could get $4,000 in a year to be applied toward your education. Now, if you think about getting 42 hours, like if you're really going to work hard to get 42 hours during that year of seminary credit, 42 hours we've estimated would cost roughly $9,150. That would be $200 an hour plus a few fees that we think would be thrown in there. So we just guess about $9,150. If you subtract the $4,000 that you'd be getting, that brings your total, your out-of-pocket expense, to $5,150, which that's a lot of money for a student, we know. But you divide that by 42, which is the number of hours you're getting, that's about $122 per credit hour. That is unheard of in most schools, that cheap of an education. So in addition, you don't have to pay to relocate yourself. You don't have to pay to move to Louisville or Wake Forest. You will have to pay to travel there a few times, but you don't have to rent a truck and move yourself and find a new place to live. If you've got a nice setup here, maybe you're living with some roommates and you're satisfied with that, or maybe you have family here that you live with. Whatever that situation may be, you do not have to worry about uprooting yourself and going to another city. So that's the fourth benefit, a cheaper education. The fifth, we believe you will build deep, lifelong relationships being a part of this program here. I've been to seminary. I went the traditional route. I went to campus and lived there for a number of years. And that experience is great. And I don't want to belittle that at all. It's a great thing to be part of a seminary community, to be on campus there. And there's something certainly you would miss if you decided not to do that. But we believe that what you would gain would be something that is a unique privilege to build the kinds of relationships you would have with the other guys here in the program, with me and with Lee and with our elders. It would be a deeper kind of fellowship. You wouldn't have as many friends maybe as you'd have on a seminary campus, but the friendships you would nurture here, the relationships you would nurture would be deeper, longer lasting, Nathan mentioned to me the other day, as he has been very good about helping us dream about this program and cast a vision for this, and he really did express something I'd not thought of before, but it's something that once I heard, I said, yes, that's exactly right. He said 10 years from now or 20 years from now, when any of these guys are out on the field or out serving their churches, and they just need to pick up the phone and they need to call me, or they need to pick up the phone and call Lee, we want to have that kind of relationship with you guys where you'd feel the freedom just to do that, just to call us out of the blue, tell us how things are going, or maybe you're facing a challenge and you just want us to be there for you and to pray for you. We would be thrilled. That's what we want from this kind of program. We want those lifelong relationships with you. So that's the fifth benefit. And then the sixth one, and I think this one is huge. You will have guidance from our church leadership, from our elders, in helping you discover where you are gifted, how you then should plan strategically to serve Christ's church in the future. This is really a huge one. If you go to seminary, if you go off to seminary and you get trained there and you graduate, there's a lot of great resources they have, which, by the way, you'll have access to all those things even from here. But they've got an office that'll help you get in touch with churches and all those things. And whether you go there or stay here, you've got access to that. But what you lose if you do that is if you begin to lose a connection with this church, then you don't have our elders here to guide you as to where they see the Lord's hand leading you in your life. In other words, you're kind of on your own. I mean, you may be a part of a good church there, and that's certainly possible, and a good church there could help you in that way. But if you've already got a great church here that you know is wanting to help you, and you've already got a history here at this church, our elders want to be part of helping you know what your gifts are, know where you best could serve the church, and help guide you and help connect you to different opportunities. And as I said, we envision ourselves sending you out as a church, sending you to different assignments, planting churches with you, pastoring churches that we've networked with or connected with in some way, sending you out to different countries of the world to preach the gospel as a missionary. Stay here with the elders who know you, who love you, and want to guide you. If you do that, I think that will be a tremendous benefit. In fact, Lee even mentioned in a meeting we had on Wednesday about one particular opportunity we have to plant churches. We might have to plant churches not just locally, but throughout North America. Would you like to speak to that for just a second?
Probably, as we've been talking about church planning, we've thought of that mainly in two locales. One would be West Tennessee, so areas like, as we've done in Martin, or Lexington, or Henderson, or any of these kind of surrounding areas. And the other would be what we're able to do through the IMB, through individuals we send, like Andy and Laura in Botswana. So as they plant churches there, we're able to do this locally because we ourselves can take care of that. And then internationally, as we send out individuals through the IMB. Well, I've spoken with an individual through NAM, the North American Mission Board, and he mentioned something that they're doing that's quite exciting as well. And Tom claims that they've got this from him, which we'll claim as well. But the NAM is really jumping on board with saying organizations don't plant churches, churches plant churches. Hyphen Tom Fox. That's what we say here. And so they've really bought into that. And so what they've done is they've identified that if you take North America, 84% of the population of North America, so this is, of course, count us and Canada as well, 84% of the population is in 27 cities. And if you take those 27 cities, there really are very insufficient numbers of churches in those cities. I would say if you went healthy churches, it would be even worse. And so what they're doing is they're identifying these 27 cities, and they're laboring to put together a strategy in order to plant churches in these cities. So let's just use Phoenix as an example here, especially since we're in winter. This will make this real appealing. Phoenix as an example of one of these 27 cities. One thing that they do is NAM is working to figure out on the field there in Phoenix, what does it look like? What would it mean to plant a church? What is it there? What kind of churches do we need? What number of churches do we need? Where in Phoenix would this work best and all? And what they're ultimately going to do is they're going to put together a strategy for how churches can be planted in that area, what it would require, and then they will let churches like us know who have already expressed, we have a desire to labor with you all. In fact, we have a meeting with NAM here at this church with some other pastors in the area March 1st. But in the, what they've expressed to us then is they'll contact us and say, could you give us something like, two, three, four families who might be committed to picking up and relocating to that area? And what we want to do is lend some financial support to you all. We also want to help you all understand the strategy so that we're the ones planting the church in Phoenix, but NAM is assisting and helping us in that. It may be that it's two of our interns who want to go out there and say, we'll labor bivocationally, getting part-time jobs and then laboring in the church as well. And maybe just a couple more families who say, we think we can pick up and get a vocation doing the same thing in Phoenix that we're doing here and help support this church. And so that's also an opportunity for us that NAM is talking to us about, that they want to see us involved in. In fact, a guy that's the head of this is a guy I went to school with and I know well. And so he's very interested in seeing us play a part of that. And so now we can think in terms of church planting opportunities, not only locally, West Tennessee, not only that and internationally, but also through North America as well. And so this is an area where, as our interns stay with us and stay here, perhaps our opportunities to plant them in locations has just expanded. So I wanted to share that with you all.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Thank you, Lee. I have to think of a funny comment to say right now so J-Raz won't edit this part. That was it.
So just to summarize, you can pursue a Master of Divinity and remain part of this church. You can earn your Master of Divinity faster if you're dedicated. You can get a better education, we believe, this way. You can get a cheaper education in some ways. You will build deep, lifelong relationships, and then you will have the guidance of this church and these elders to help you once you're done in finding a place of service. So those of you who are interested, we are actually beginning to take applications right now for the upcoming year. So if you're interested, actually for the first time in our now 2.5 year history of this program, we can accept your application online thanks to J-Raz. So if you'll just go to the church's website and go to ministries and then pastoral apprenticeship, that'll tell you all about the program, and then there's a link you can click to fill out an application. Or if you want to do it the traditional way, we should have, if our apprentices did their job this week, we should have some applications on the back table. And those of you, of course, we talked to you who've been through the program before, if you want to apply again, we would love to have you, because now that we have this partnership with seminaries, with at least one seminary so far, to give you that credit, we want you to be able to take advantage of that. So we'll be taking applications through April 1st, so you got about 2 months to turn those in, and then we'll let the elders look over those and get back with you. So before we conclude today, I'm going to turn things over to Timothy in just a minute and let Timothy O'Day just speak about his experience in the program last year. But before we do, I just want to bring us back around to what this is all about. I just want you to imagine, say 20 years from now, how many godly, educated, equipped, spirit-filled, loving, rock-solid, fearless men will we have sent out into the world to proclaim the gospel and to build up Christ's church. Can you imagine the army that could go out from us? What amazing gifts we have been given by the Lord to be right here in Jackson, Tennessee, right here next to Union University. The Lord has entrusted us with much. And just like in the parable of the talents, those who have been given much, they're expected to take risks with that, to invest that, and to bring a return to their master. So let's invest in this. Let's support this. Would you please be in prayer for the future of this ministry, for me and Lee and our elders as we lead, and especially for the guys who are part of this and will be a part of this. Would you labor with us in prayer and be a part, as many of you already have been, in helping us discern the gifts of these men and train them in what God has called them to do. Let's take a risk for our master and see that he receives a return on what he has given us. Timothy's going to speak to us for a few minutes, and then Timothy, I'll just let you dismiss us when you're done.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is there going to need to be, since we have different classes now, are we going to have to alter our curriculum drastically, like John Maxwell books or something?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that, Lee.
Yes, right.
Lee said, are we, now that we're offering these courses, are we going to have to make dramatic changes to our program so that we can align with what the seminaries normally do here? No, the answer is no. Lee already knew that, but he wanted to make sure that you knew that. We, as far as we've been able to enter into this conversation with Southeastern, they're not requiring us to change virtually anything. The only thing we might have to do to make this work would be to add a little online discussion component to some of our courses, just so that our courses can be tied back to Southeastern Seminary in some way. And so, but the basic gist of what we're doing, the educational drive, what we're doing, all of that's going to remain the same. So we're not adapting our program to them. They're actually willing to work with us at what we're already doing. Yeah, let me take a few other questions if there are any.
Are you still offering a Tier 2 option?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. The Tier 2 option is available, but it's more now like a special circumstance. So I haven't even put it on the application now. So if you're in that boat, then certainly we want you to apply and to go ahead and just mention to me when you apply that you'd only be interested in doing the Tier 2 option. Priority will be given to those who are for the full, doing the full thing, but the Tier 2 option is available. And you could get 9 hours of credit if you did the Tier 2 option this time. Now, you would not get the supervised ministry experience, but you'd get the other 3 classes if you wanted to. So, yes, that is an option, but it's more of a special circumstance now if you're interested, so just talk to me. Any other questions? Yes?
Did you factor in the cost for the internet discussion within the numbers?
Yes, that was one of the fees that we thought. Oh, yeah. J-Rez reminds me to repeat the questions. Did we factor in that there would be added fees for internet classes? Yes, we did. The number we arrived at, $91.50, which things are always changing with prices, but that's the number we arrived at for if you took 42 hours in a year. Some of those classes would include an extra fee based on the fact that you're doing them online rather than on campus. And the way that works is the seminaries don't receive cooperative program funding for those kind of classes, so they have to charge an extra fee to meet that. So, yes, we did factor that in. Anything else? Yes?
The 9 hours of the first 3 classes up there, is that actually having to be paid from the apprentice to the seminary, or how does that work?
Okay, the question is do you have to pay? Does the apprentice pay the seminary directly?
Yeah,
or is it?
Like somebody that just wanted to do the tier 2 option.
Right.
9 hours up there.
Yes. Yes. If you pursued the Tier 2 option and you pursued the credit, now you don't necessarily have to get the seminary credit. If you're just not interested in it, you don't have to. But if you are pursuing the credit, then yes, you will pay the seminary directly, just as you would if you were there on campus. Yes.
Credit in these courses will be tied to seminary, and seminaries have accreditation requirements. How does this impact the library resources that we will have to maintain?
Bill's question was, because seminaries have accreditation, does this impact library resources for us? I'm not aware of any requirements that would be placed on us.
Yeah, and the seminaries would have an agreement with the union that our students could use Union's library as well.
So yeah, so
they would build a new good library.
So Lee mentioned that the seminaries. The seminaries would have an agreement with Union whereby the students could use Union's library. And thankfully, Union is building a new library, which is supposed to be out of this world amazing. Anything else? Yes?
You're talking about somebody staying here all the way through until they get all their credit. What would year two look like if they've gone through and gotten the credit here, but then now they're just getting extension credits in year two?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. What would year two look like if you were not part of the program? It would look like, yes, doing extension center, doing internet classes probably during the fall and the spring if you wanted to, and then doing the J-terms up there on the seminary campus. But hopefully as part of this church, now as part of this church you wouldn't be getting any more seminary credit, but hopefully we would be using you in various ministry capacities to continue your training up until you were ready to be sent out somewhere. So it would be kind of just cobbling together from all the different options you have the rest of your degree.
And it would be worth reminding again, this is worst case scenario. Southern may well offer you and I teaching a course, you know, or something.
Yes. Lee mentioned this. We've not even mentioned all the possibilities yet. There may be some possibilities for us to even offer classes here at the church for not just our apprentices, but anybody who's interested. If that pans out with the seminaries being okay with that, since we do have three PhDs here at the church who would be qualified to teach. All right, Timothy, why don't you come and just dismiss us when you're done.
Let me begin with an apology because my voice is pretty rough. So I hope you can hear me in the back. I'm going to try and project for you. I don't have a lot to say, mostly because of my voice, but Aaron has already outlined for you much of the benefits of the program. And first thing I just want to say is it's all true. The biggest benefit of doing this program is that you learn how to do ministry within the context of the local church. You're not going off learning it in a classroom setting. I mean, like Aaron said, I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with going to seminary, and there's very good things about seminary, I'd imagine. But I just think it's so important to stress that you're learning how to do ministry within the local church, which is the goal that you're going to do. So I just want to highlight some of the things that I think were the most beneficial, and many of them are going to sound like you just heard. It's preaching opportunities within the local church. That was so beneficial, to have those chances to come here and to preach before you all, to get feedback not only from Lee and Aaron and the other pastors, but to get feedback from members within the church. You're not going to get something like that within a classroom setting where people can come up to you and say, that really resonated with me, or it just causes you to be more thoughtful when you're preaching because you have such more of a variety of the people. I have to speak to, you know, women who are 50, not just guys who are 20 and wanting to do ministry. I have to speak to teenagers. I have to speak to college students. I have to speak to people who are struggling with illness. It just opens up the varieties of what you have to think of when you're preaching. Meeting with Lee while he does his sermon preparation is also very beneficial because that two-hour meeting that Aaron mentioned that you have to sit through with Lee is helpful because you get to see how he handles various texts. So you see how he sits down, how he diagrams things, how he's going to preach that himself. And so it helps you think of how you should be going through a certain text as well. And it also offers you the opportunity for that week when he's going through a text to start getting into the rhythm of creating a sermon every week. Because you can create that sermon with him as he goes. And if you want to be a pastor, it's really helpful to kind of get into that rhythm of, okay, week in, week out, you're writing a sermon. But that is not all you have to do, so that can't consume all of your time. So how does Lee manage that, as well as doing other things that might come up, which you also have the opportunity to do with the pastors? When somebody's in the hospital, oftentimes you get to go with them to visit them in the hospital. If there's a wedding, you get to see how they do a wedding. If there's a funeral, you get to see how they do a funeral. So instead of just kind of learning about these things secondhand, you get to be there watching how they manage these situations. And this is also really intensive academically. Like Aaron said, the books you read, there's some pretty deep stuff in these books. And you have to read about a book a week. So, I mean, you have to take your study time seriously. You have to really work hard at this. As Aaron said, he's got his PhD. Lee has his PhD. Dr. Van Ness has a PhD. And Nathan and Tom, even though they don't have their PhD, I mean, they're still great men to learn from. This program also, I think, will help you get more out of seminary if you do choose to go on to seminary. So let's say you do the credit hours here, and then you decide to go on to seminary. This is not something that you do, and then you go into seminary, and then you get into the academics of pastoral ministry. This will actually introduce you to that and then help you get more from it later, because as you're introduced to a subject, it teaches you how to ask tougher questions, to think deeper in it. So when you go on and you start taking on even the same subjects, you're better equipped to learn more from them. And then lastly, I can't stress enough, and this is what Aaron stressed last as well, that you have the confirmation of the church and the elders behind you after you finish the program. If they think that you should go on with ministry, I mean, that's a huge confirmation to have. And it's also really helpful if you're going into this, you go into this program thinking that you want to do ministry, but then at the end of it you say, you know what, I'm glad I did this because I don't think I want to do this. Or to have the elders say that they think you might be better equipped for something else. We don't, people who want to be in ministry, me being one of them, we can't go into this saying that it's just something that I want to do and that's why I'm going to do it. Perhaps we'd be gifted for something else. Or perhaps we're going into this but we're just not feeling very confident in ourselves. That this is something, to having the church behind you, having the pastors behind you, can be a way that you're redirected, or be a way that you're just confirmed to continue on. I think that's all I'm going to say because my voice is really hurting now. But everything that Aaron said today about the benefits of the program, it's so true. So as a church, I think this is something that we should continue to support. And if you are thinking about doing the program, I would strongly encourage you to do it. It's very beneficial. And so with that, it's probably time to go listen to Lee and to worship God together. So we're dismissed.